summertime. The living is easy. Fish are fine. The cotton is high.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Ooh, hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is July 1st, 2022, and it is 1903. UTC. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out with us in calm and hanging just with the non-radio. Thanks so much for being here. I want to find out and play the game Moon Buggy because it makes me think of the game that I used to play on Windows that was a lot of fun back in the Windows 3.11 days. Shout out to X1 and Fade and LD Beth and Stug. Thanks so much for being here. You guys, make it fun. All right. Well, we start the way we pretty much... Well, I want to address this. I've been trying to make myself do a quiz, like a news quiz or something, and I just can't... I can't seem to pull it together. Work is making me crazy. The short is that there are probably four or five proxies or routers or firewalls between the hosts that I'm in charge of and the users who use them. And because of that, one of the intermediaries set their MTU from 9,000 down to 1,500, aka jumbo frames. And that, my friends, will cause a lot of problems if everyone's used to using jumbo frames. So anyway, that's what's going on in my life. Just lots of fun. All right. And shout out to Carbine. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. And big shout outs to SMJ. Hope you're doing good too. Oh, I've got to be sure and advertise. Tonight, Synth Battle Royale. Synthesizers, one of the most fun instruments that exist. Oh no, I forgot. I left it turned on. I wonder if it's got battery power still. Yeah, it does still have. Yep, there's still battery in here. It's Synth Battle Royale Day. Tune in. 0300 UTC. All right, so now we can get going. Let's start talking about world news.
World news.
Peruvian firefighters contained blaze near Machu Picchu after 3 days. Forest fire broke out on Tuesday and destroyed around 100 acres of land, the equivalent of about 50 football pitches. Peruvian authorities say firefighters have managed to control a forest fire near the Incan ruins of Machu Picchu after 3 days battling the flames. The blaze near one of the world's most famous archaeological sites broke out on Tuesday, destroying around 100 acres of land. The fire, which Peru's culture ministry said engulfed a remote area about 6 miles from the spectacular high-altitude citadel, was reportedly sparked by farmers who'd been clearing land to grow crops. "We've already been fighting the forest fire for 2 days, and it has not been possible to get it under control, given the area is quite inaccessible," Roberto Abarca, director of the Cusco Risk Management and Security Office, told Reuters on Thursday. But by Thursday night, Peruvian authorities announced the fire had been 90% tamed by dozens of firefighters and police. They claimed Machu Picchu itself had not been affected. "Thankfully, it has been possible to contain the fire," the mayor of the district, Darwin Baca-Leon, told the Peruvian radio station RPP. The mayor admitted firefighters were still working to control some smaller outbreaks in the mountains that remained active. Let's see, we got a call out. Oh, nice. SMJ mentions all as well. MJT, shout out. And D&D. Oh, and shout out to Tobe. Man, love it. All right. So, yeah, there was a fire. Machu Picchu was spared, thankfully. So, good times. Welcome back, Tobe. Urgent action needed. in Europe over monkeypox spread. If you're in Europe, watch out. The World Health Organization has called for urgent action to prevent the spread of monkeypox in Europe, noting that cases had tripled there over the past 2 weeks. To date, more than 5,000 cases have been reported from 51 countries, according to U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Infections in Europe represent about 90% of the global total cases, and 31 countries in the European region have now identified cases, WHO Regional Director for Europe, Dr. Hans-Henri Kluge, said on Friday. Today, I am intensifying my call for governments and civil society to scale up efforts to prevent monkeypox from establishing itself across a growing geopolitical area. Urgent and coordinated action is imperative if we are to turn a corner in the race to reverse the ongoing spread of this disease. Kluge also said in a statement that there are no reported deaths from the current outbreak so far. Monkeypox is transmitted through contact with an infected person. Ooh, it doesn't look very nice. I'm going to put an image link in com. If you don't like skin disease images, don't look at it. But monkeypox. Infographic. This is a Creative Commons by attribution, non-commercial, share alike licensed image. At sdf.org/l/3a, all lowercase letters, sdf.org/l/3alpha. That's l/3a. And basically, monkeypox is transmitted through contact with an infected person or animal or material contaminated with the virus. Person to person, it can spread through physical contact, including sexual contact. The rash, bodily fluids, and scabs are particularly infectious. Monkeypox can spread through clothing, bedding, towels, utensils, saliva, skin-to-skin contact, and from mother to child. Until May, monkeypox had never been known to cause large outbreaks beyond Africa, where the disease is endemic, and mostly causes limited outbreaks when it jumps from people to people from infected wild animals. Kluge said that Europe remains at the center of the expanding outbreak and the risk remains high. There's simply no room for complacency, especially right here in the European region with its fast-moving outbreak that with every hour, day, and week is extending its reach into previously unaffected areas. The WHO doesn't think the outbreak currently constitutes a public health emergency of international concern, but will review its position shortly. The UN agency estimates that the disease can be fatal, but smallpox vaccines are protective and some antiviral drugs are also being developed. To date, there have been about 1,800 suspected monkeypox cases, including more than 70 deaths in Africa. Vaccines have never been used to stop monkeypox outbreaks in Africa, though. The WHO's Africa office said this week that countries with vaccine supplies are mainly reserving them for their own populations. So, yeah. From mother to child, they're talking about, like, a pregnant woman who is infected with the disease. The child also has the disease. So if the child's born, after the child's born, they can get it. Or I guess they get it when they're coming out because they're coming in contact with mom's fluids and skin, you know. The infographic shows a picture of a woman, like the generic woman image with a little baby superimposed on top of it. So I'm guessing that means like that. All right. Hey, Ice303. Welcome. Oh, man. So much news. It's hard to get
the news
all
over with. I want to hear the music.
And then this guy, he always wants to play a song. We'll get there, buddy. Just chill out. Okay?
Resistance is futile.
India bans single-use plastics in a bid to tackle waste. The production and sale of a host of single-use plastic products will be forbidden in India from July 1st as a landmark new law comes into effect. The country currently produces some 4 million tons of plastic waste per year, much of which ends up littering streets, choking rivers, or piling up in landfills. So, just a heads up if you're out that way in India or somewhere. And if you live in Syria, not even your roof is safe. Drone pictures reveal the extent of the looting of the homes left behind after Syrians fled areas captured by the government. Ghassan Hamad, age 46, fled Kafr Nabil in the southern Idlib province in 2019. He left behind a house he'd built a few years earlier and now lives in a displacement camp near the Turkish border, where he works as a day laborer to look after his 7 children and his niece. Mahmoud's life is hard. He relies on loans for almost half of his monthly expenses and is struggling to cope with abysmal living conditions and cuts to humanitarian aid. But it is what he has recently discovered about his old home left behind in Kfar Nabil that upsets him the most. "I discovered my roof was stolen," he told Al Jazeera, still in disbelief. After hearing from friends and residents that Syrian government forces had looted abandoned homes, Mahmoud had been looking at Google Maps on his phone to view his old neighborhood. "Then a friend of mine who passed by the area sent me a picture which confirmed everything," Mahmoud said. "It makes my blood boil. And he's not the only one with a missing roof. I don't think I was personally targeted. They looted the entire neighborhood." The Syrian government has not commented publicly on the accusations. Al Jazeera has reached out to the Syrian authorities for comment. See you later, ICE-303. So, yeah. Essentially, everything but the walls is being looted out of the homes left behind. So, like, the windows and doors and roof tiles and ceiling joists and all of that. Yeah, it's like the whole neighborhood, essentially. Here, we'll put a link in com for you for an image. You'd find that at sdf.org/l/3b. That's Lima slash 3 Bravo, all lowercase, sdf.org/l/3b. Yeah, there are no limits in war. You're right, X1. But yeah, so drone pictures show pickup trucks near scrap heaps of metal and bricks. WatchGuard groups and monitors have shared photos on the ground of government forces looting not just the foundations of the houses, but washing machines, refrigerators, furniture, pots and pans. Photos that surfaced on activist pages and on social media show construction workers drilling through homes and mosques to remove their roofs. At least 350,000 people have been killed in the war, according to the United Nations, while the true number is expected to be much higher. So yeah, it's just really, it's really sad. That you can see that they don't destroy your house, they just steal everything of it. It's gone. It's totally absorbed. All right. Well, what else could we what can we do to lighten the mood?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm stressed out, I think about moving to Germany, because Germany is moving to legalize cannabis. Germany is mulling over the consequences of soon becoming the world's largest potential market for legally sold cannabis, as the country's left-liberal government presses ahead with plans to allow the controlled distribution of the drug among adults. Olaf Scholz's coalition government has in recent weeks reiterated its 2021 coalition deal vow to legalize for recreational use what its Green and Liberal Party minister have been taking to refer to as Bubats, a slang word for weed popular among German rappers. That's B-U-B-A-T-Z. It's Bravo Uniform, Bravo Alpha Tango Z, or Zulu. I don't know who's going to Uruguay, but sounds like fun. A consultation process consisting of 5 public hearings with health experts, economists, and cannabis growers concluded this week, firing the starting gun for a race to clear legal and regulatory hurdles within 1 to 2 years. A draft bill is expected within the second half of 2022. Ah! Cannabis is legal in Uruguay. Thanks, Claudium. Yeah, a lot of my friends, they've go to visit Colorado, and I have a friend that lives in Oklahoma that has access to it, and he's his response is that the quality, this is something that was interesting, but in Oklahoma, there's not a limit on or any regulation on how they can grow or how many people can grow and what kind of growers there are. So he said that the quality in Oklahoma is very low because every Tom, Dick, and Harry, common phrase, sorry, just everyone that can does grow, and so it reduces the quality because there's just a flood of cheap, amateurishly grown stuff. All right, so yeah, so that's kind of the relaxing news. We'll just kind of like, all right, we mellow out. Speaking of mellowing out, this is Mellow Yellow from Donovan.
I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow. I'm just mad about 14. 14's mad about me. I'm just mad about 14. She's just mad about me. They call me mellow yellow. They call me mellow yellow. Quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow. Born a high forever to fly. A wind of a velocity nil. Born a high forever to fly. If you want your cup, power fill. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF is powered by you. So thank you for being here and hanging out. Looks like we got some old-timers poking their heads into comm again, which is always fun. So welcome, welcome. Shout out to Tobe. Just want to remind you, at 1930 UTC, every damn day, is the Dubious Goals Committee. Happens at 1930 UTC. So stick around for that. Lots of fun. And shout out to Canders. Welcome, welcome to the Anon Radio Room. All right. Well, let's jump on back in. There's a lot of news, and we don't really have a lot of time. So we'll just kind of run through it, okay? Every damn day. protests grow and fight to reclaim Italy's beaches from private clubs. More than half the country's shoreline is managed by private concessions, despite being public property. There is an Italian expression derived from a 1963 song by Piero Focaccia that neatly encapsulates the deeply ingrained rituals of summertime beachgoers. Stessa spiaggia, stesso mare, same beach, same sea. Year in, year out, this often extends to paying a tidy sum to rent the same cabin, same lounger, and same umbrella covering the same patch of sand at the same Lido or beach resort, preferably in a prestigious row close to the shoreline for an entire season. But such is the domination of private beach clubs along Italy's long stretches of coastline that a growing number of people are pushing to break old habits and wage a campaign to reclaim free beaches. Even though Italy's shoreline is public property, more than half is managed through private beach concessions. A significant number are renewed automatically to the same owners rather than using a tender process, creating an impenetrable dynastic system. According to figures from the environmental association Ligambiente, the number of private beach establishments has doubled over the past two decades to 12,166. On top of that, almost 2,000 contracts dedicated to beachside camping or sporting activities have been granted to businesses. Overall, it's estimated that less than half of the country's beaches are freely accessible and available for swimming. The cost of going to beach club has also increased. The daily price for two loungers and an umbrella averaged 20 to 30 euros and reaches 75 euros in the more upmarket resorts. Nowhere is the issue more emblematic than Ostia, the closest beach to Rome, where it is difficult to even glimpse the Mediterranean because of the miles of fencing and concrete barricading it off to all but those who pay. By law, resorts are supposed to hang a sign at their entrance confirming free access to the shore, from which people can walk to the scarce areas of free beach. Several protests have been held by local activists, but their campaign took a nasty turn last weekend when two campaigners were harshly rebuked by a resort owner after they attempted to walk through to the shore. "We were checking every establishment to see if the free transit sign was placed in a visible position. As often it's not," said Daniello Ruggiero, one of the two activists. "They started to stop us from entering, saying this is a private beach. Then we challenged them and asked where their sign was. They claimed they were dusting it off." The argument with the resort owner became so heated the police had to intervene. "It was a surprise to get such a strong reaction," said Ruggiero, "but it's an arrogance that stems from a certainty of impunity." So anyway, that's enough about beaches. I don't like privatization of public spaces, and it agitates me. All right. In Russia-Ukraine news, foreign fighters appeal sentences. Foreigners sentenced by a Russian-backed separatist court launch appeal. A British and Moroccan fighter sentenced to death by Russian-backed separatist court in East Ukraine for fighting for Ukraine have appealed against their sentences. Germany has condemned alleged Russian missile attacks on Ukraine's Odessa region, and according to Kyiv, at least 19 people were killed in the southwestern region on Friday, including two children. And Putin says sanctions and political pressure from the West are pushing Russia and Belarus closer. Wealth is a sure way to distinguish a moron from a moron, says X1. Sounds about right. About 10% of all flights from Paris Charles de Gaulle, CDG Airport, were canceled due to strikes by ground personnel on Thursday, and similar disruption is expected on Friday, a spokesman for airport operator ADP said. So, good luck. You really, if you're trying to fly this summer, you're in a world of hurt. I hope you're not doing it for vacation, because that doesn't sound like a vacation to me. EU's Takuba force quits junta-controlled Mali. The French-led Takuba task force of EU special forces has officially ceased operating in Mali, France announced Friday, ending an anti-jihadist effort launched in March 2020 that soured after two military coups overthrew the civilian government. So be on the lookout for more news there. Claudio M's son just took a flight to Ohio, so LOL. I mean, hey, all I'm saying is there's a lot of flights canceling, and all the workers are overworked. All the pilots are overworked, and any other crew, they're all struggling. So it's like, do you want to, it kind of feels like, do you want to get on the bus with the bus driver who's like taking pills to stay awake? I don't know. Such is life. Everybody does their own thing. Man, we've only got about 4 minutes to go before the Doobie Skulls Committee, so I want to just throw out some more of these stories that maybe are less serious, but caught my eye. In Utah, a Republican apologizes for saying women can control intake of semen. In the aftermath of the U.S. Supreme Court decision that ended the right to abortion, amid nationwide protests, one Utah Republican said women could control their intake of semen. The comment by Carrie Ann Lisenby, a state representative, came in response to an assertion that men should be held accountable for unwanted pregnancies, not just pregnant women. I got a text message today saying I should seek to control men's ejaculations and not women's pregnancies, Lisenby said. She's added, I do trust women enough to control when they allow a man to ejaculate inside of them and to control that intake of semen. Lisenby spoke as conservatives celebrated the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade, the 1973 ruling, which established the constitutional right to an abortion. The day after the ruling, Lisenby walked back her statement. Women do not have a choice when they are raped and have protections under Utah's trigger law, she told the Tribune. My first statement in the press conference made clear the actions I have taken to pass bills that provide legal protection. So, CX1. Yeah, hey, Jalimoth. And see, oh, see, Claudia Wynn. That's who was leaving. Sorry. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be a long weekend. 4th of July is on Monday, Independence Day. I'll be here doing doing news still, but I'll be live because I'll be off of work. Ketanji Brown Jackson has been sworn in as a first black woman in U.S. Supreme Court. This is a big day, pretty exciting. The driver of the Texas migrant truck didn't know that the air conditioning in the trailer was broken. So those people, over 50 people, died. They suffocated in an unrefrigerated cargo trailer. And a missing crypto queen, the FBI has added Ruha Ignatova to top 10 most wanted list. She's known as the missing crypto queen. She's a Bulgarian woman believed to be in her 40s and is wanted for her alleged role in running a cryptocurrency scam known as OneCoin. All right, well, that does it for us today. I'll see you guys on Monday. Thanks so much for being here. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. And all of it is on and on radio.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Let's count it down, everyone. Oh, we're going to do it wrong. But anyway, 7.
7, 6, 5, 4.
7, 6, 5.